Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rebirth Recap, another comic book podcast where I, Snoop Lynch, talk about DC Comics, but I can't do it alone, so I found one other person to join me. His name's Higgins. Say hi.
Hi, that's me.
That's him right there. Together, we're going to talk about that stuff I just said.
So, we can do that.
We can do it?
Yeah.
You're fine with it? You sure?
Yeah, I finished up all the things literally seconds ago.
Not all the things.
Literally seconds ago. The important things.
I finished up most of the things.
The Rebirth titles. This is Rebirth Recap, so I read the Rebirth titles. So, if you wanted to do a little extra reading, more power to you.
Even though we agreed to do those extra things together.
I agreed to read at least one of them, not both. I didn't make that deal. I didn't make that deadline, but I only missed one, not two.
Sounds like an argument we need to have off air.
All right.
But for right now, let's just go into the comics.
Where do you want to jump in at? You know what? I want to start with Green Lanterns. Really off the wall.
I mean, thank you for asking me and then quickly taking it away. Luckily for you, I want to talk about Green Lanterns.
You want to talk about Green Lanterns number 34?
Sure do.
It's a work release part two.
Mm-hmm.
The same guy that wrote Nightwing?
Yeah, Tim Seeley is taking over for Green Lanterns.
Taking over now.
Mm-hmm. He replaced Sam Humphries.
Which is a shame, but he's done all right so far.
Yeah, I've actually, I really liked what Tim Seeley's been doing here. And this was a good little two-part arc. I assume this is the end of it, just because of how it ended. But
We have 47 Ronin Cliquette
as the artist.
Yeah,
doing art stuff. The art's good. It's real cosmic and
it looks like a Green Lantern book.
Yeah.
So we're fine there.
Mm-hmm, and
he did his job.
You fine with it?
Yeah.
Good. And this finishes up the arc where we see the characters of Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz, the Green Lanterns of Earth now, trying to balance their personal lives with their new space sector life. And it is kind of something I think that this book has missed a little bit is, you know, we'll take a few issues or an issue to do kind of some on-world stuff of them just going about their day-to-day and they have their own personal stuff they have to get through. And then we'll take a break from that and do the space stuff. Well, this is kind of a good balance, I thought, of doing
nice,
the
even dose.
Yeah, doing the space mission of they've been sent to a planet to save an alien race before it blows up. And it's also flashing back to them trying to get jobs and kind of the problems they're running into there. Jessica Cruz has social anxiety and is trying to convince people that she's ready to get back into the world and convince them that she can work at a coffee shop, which I know you liked last issue.
Yeah, it's not that tough. And the thing that makes me even more mad about this issue is the guy, like, he's like, you know what? The waitress thing's a little too hard. Let's put you in the back. So you don't have to deal with as many people.
Yeah.
I was like, but your work's probably going to be tougher.
It's certainly a lot more stressful in the kitchen.
I've worked in
a restaurant. I know how stressful it is to be back in that kitchen doing dishes. But she does take it at least. So maybe every now and again, we'll check in on her working at the coffee shop. Doing fun things. Maybe she'll get bumped up to waitress. I don't know.
Or cash register. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
I'd say the bulk of like the work stuff was more focused on Simon Baz and how it's hard for him to get work because of his record. And at one point he was listed as a terrorist. And
yeah, but he got a free season pass.
Yeah, but it's still kind of like
never going to have to pay for those race tickets. At least for a season.
Yeah.
So at least he got that.
That's the silver lining.
It's like,
right.
That's what he was going to get the job for anyways, right? For those season tickets. And he's like, well, now I don't even have to do it.
Whew. That's skin off my bones.
A load off my back.
It is kind of sad, though, to see a character who has made mistakes like anyone else has, and this is following him around, and he can't get work because of it. I do like that little bit of it. But the bulk of this is the space stuff, which I want it to be. It's a Green Lantern book. I want him to be doing stuff in space, and I love pretty much everything I got here.
They did so many cool things.
All the Jessica Cruz.
Jessica Cruz MVP. Can make so many constructs now.
Yeah, that big...
She could only make blobs before, and now she's literally like got things all over the place.
She's got like statues
got webs,
with buckets and
holding
stuff.
Holding a whole planet together.
Yeah, and it's all at once, and she's still like
And she still uses a megaphone at 47% willpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like Jessica Cruz in this, and Simon Baz was good too. The one thing I don't really like about Simon Baz is
he's got all these extra powers.
Yeah, it's we know he's had this power where he can, if he puts enough willpower into it, he can use his ring to heal people. Like, he healed one of the Red Lanterns temporarily.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember who it was, but I remember he healed somebody.
I think it was Blease, which is the Red Lantern, like the woman Red Lantern.
Yeah.
But that's been in since this whole story started, but they still haven't gone into why he can do that and what it means.
Maybe we'll get there eventually.
Well, now he's bringing people back to life.
Well, she wasn't dead. She had 128 seconds left to live.
Yeah, it's just, I've seen enough of that where I want to kind of know. It means something, obviously.
Yeah, he's got the Emerald Sight, too. He's just a little special, more special. He does have, he did that before the ring exploded into his arm.
Just take it away from him.
I know, like, he had the, I was thinking maybe the ring exploding into his arm, it's like in his bloodstream, he's got some extra powers.
Okay.
But, like, that happened after.
Yeah.
It happened seven.
Make up your mind.
It happened 10 billion years ago. I take it back again.
Oh, yeah, because technically it happened before he got his.
Time travel.
Oh, no wonder you're having so much trouble.
Time travel is a
time
real.
Time travel trouble. I don't like it. But
yeah, that's. I want
to
know.
Yeah, and I like kind of the setup to the next. It seems like more space stuff is just going to kind of come along. I like that it resolved. Simon Baz is. It's not. You know, he's still a terrorist. He can't get work technically, but he has moved out into one of the old Green Lantern things above space or above Earth. And that's pretty funny. I guess he'll just be doing his laundry there from now on. And one thing I really liked about this for future issues is Jessica Cruz's ring is also special, we know, because she basically has programmed the AI in her ring to kind of talk as a person.
Yeah.
And it's a small bit, but I really like it just because what it implies is that her ring is now sentient completely, and it seems like it might turn on her.
It's looking bad.
Yeah, because the ring was a big help for her.
Wish they would have ended it there, though, because the part at the end really, really threw me off.
I liked it.
You liked the end?
Yeah, it's just like, it sets up the next arc of who they're going to fight, but it's just this crazy alien who's yelling at a...
It was funny, but like I felt like it would have been more ominous if we would have just got like creepy green...
Yeah,
space ring.
This book is more—it's more comedy than anything. Though, yeah, I feel it has heavier stuff in it, but it always kind of leans on kind of the goofier side of Green Lantern stuff, just because of who the characters are. But yeah, just having the alien show up and he's like, "I'm here to conquer the world,"
shouting out the wavy arm.
Yeah, the wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Yeah,
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know, Calthunga or something like that.
I don't know his name.
Something like that.
But no, this is a fun little arc, and it's a good start to a new writer. And I think Tim Seeley's doing pretty interesting stuff here. Hopefully, you can keep it up.
And Simon Baz might not have a job, but he's gonna get in good with Lyseth.
I don't know that. Talking about that singer.
Yeah, the Aubyn Sor people's daughter lady. I don't know.
Daughter lady thing.
Yeah, she sings.
Good for her. Good for you and good for Simon Baz, too.
You want to hop into Nightwing?
The other book by Tim Seeley?
Yeah, but this one, isn't this supposed to be given to Sam Humphries eventually?
I think
after this arc,
yeah, he'll take over as well.
Because Tim Seeley's like, you know what? I'm going to give you this book, Sam Humphries. But wait, nope. Now I got two.
Just kidding. Yeah, so let's talk Nightwing number 30. What is it, Higgins? Help me out.
Number 32.
Number 32, Raptor's Revenge,
Part 3. I love the Raptor, and this one was pretty neat because we got some backstory on their circus life.
Yeah, we know the character Raptor, and we know more about him from the first time he showed up, how he grew up with Dick Grayson's mom. I think her name's Marie.
Yeah, Marie, and then she switched it to Mary.
Yeah, but... he's kind of kept an eye on her because he fell in love with her and
they're gypsies.
Yeah. That too. And after she died, he kind of watched Dick behind the scenes. And then of course Batman takes him in and he feels like he's forgotten his roots and he wants to get him back there and look out for the little people. He doesn't care about those one percenters.
He's not a fan.
Mm-mm.
He's looking out for the 99.
Yeah. And that part has never really interests me. It's not really something I go for in a book like this. Mm. But the character is interesting because it of his relationship with Dick, and this is one of those issues where we get backstory again, kind of more into the day that his parents died and Raptor was there. But they do it in a way that I really enjoy, where I like when both the villain and the hero know each other's identities. I like how they usually in superhero stuff have that moment where they confront each other in their normal lives.
Yeah, normal lives.
And just kind of egg each other on. And this is exactly what it is during a blackjack game. And it starts with Raptor kind of calling out Nightwing and thinking he's,
winning all the hands.
He's winning all the hands. And then to see Nightwing kind of turn it around on him and call him out on all his
and
shit.
And then get a blackjack on the last one. It's some metaphors here.
You can't time it better than that. You can't write it better than that.
Metaphors.
Struck a chord with you because you were a blackjack dealer. You did stuff like this all the time with your enemies.
I dealt cards. I loved it when I beat all the people at the table because I didn't have to do any math. I just took their money.
The only kind of math you care about.
It's like zero.
All profit. But no, this is a fun little bit. This is honestly the best issue of this arc so far for me.
Yeah, it was really good.
And it gave you a little...
Scott Eaton and Miguel Madonka did a wonderful job on the art.
Yeah, art's pretty good here. It's it's good as any other Nightwing art.
I just figured I'd mention their names since we forgot.
I mean, give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, credit.
Of course.
Credit.
I like little Sean Sang storyline. You know, I like that character.
Yeah.
And we know that
I like the runoffs are back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have Grace something, the Orca lady.
Orca?
Yeah, but like her name's like Grace something or something like that.
I don't know. Killer Whale lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the little side story because we know Sean Sang's mentor and
Pigeon.
The Pigeon is teamed up with the Raptor. And honestly, we should have seen that coming. But
Pigeon and Raptor?
But
birds? More birds. I think we talked about that last time we talked about Nightwing.
Yeah, well, you talked about it because you slowly realized it as we did that episode.
Birds.
But yeah, I like kind of... It always is this interesting balancing act with the runoffs or whatever they're called, because they were former villains and they want to turn over a new leaf, even though they're always walking around in costume for some reason. But now it makes sense because they're out on the streets getting answers.
Being slightly good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely good guys, because they're not quite to that level yet.
Yeah, I imagine
they're not ready for it.
Well, I imagine that they're actually going to get involved because Raptors... plan is to kind of just cause chaos in Bloodhaven, and he's infected people with a blockbuster virus or whatever, and now Dick Grayson is trapped in the casino, and I'm guessing that the runoffs and Sean Sang are going to help him out. So
yeah, I swore the rest of the runoffs knew that Dick was Nightwing, but it doesn't seem like that at the end.
No,
of
they don't.
The issue,
it's really not that hard to figure out.
Well, I thought I thought he was, because Gizmo was helping him, and then Sean Sang knows, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they know, but again, it's
like Dick Grayson was helping them when they were dressed as normal people, and Nightwing was helping them when they were dressed as superheroes.
And Sean Sang hates Nightwing because of weird romantic tension. He figured they put it together.
Yeah, two and two.
Although one of those guys is a complete idiot. The guy with the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
He's got a heart of gold, but there's nothing up there. Yeah, this is one of the better issues for sure, but I am hoping that after this arc, Sam Humphries gets to take his turn, because I like what Tim Seeley's doing in Green Lanterns now, and I have a feeling getting someone fresh for Nightwing will be a good thing too. So
yeah, 30 issues is a lot.
Yeah, so let's finish out strong here and carry on. And let's carry on with another comic book, Higgins. Let's talk.
Do you want to pick it this time?
I mean, if you don't mind.
All right.
Thank you. Let's talk Superman number 34.
Superman, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. This is Imperius Lex part 2.
It really took a turn for me. I wasn't expecting how they were what they were going to do with all this stuff.
And by them you mean Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason writing.
And Patrick Gleason.
And we got a lot of artists on this, Higgins. I don't know if you know.
Ed Beans,
Doug Mankey, and Jack
Herbert.
Just doing all the
arts. I'm sure it's Ed Benes, but
Higgins, you can't go back. you can't go back on your names.
I wanted to say Ed Beans.
That admits weakness.
I really wanted to say Ed Beans.
Well, you said it. So you did like this, though?
Yeah, I liked it a lot, because I got to see some granny goodness. I got to see some Superboy flying. I got to see Lex being a good guy, even though I thought he was going to be a bad guy.
He's still pretty bad.
Well, he's not like bad. Like he was like, look, guys, I'm not your dude. And like he's gonna get killed because of that. And he's like, no, but look, your dude's right here.
Brought him. Free of charge. Yeah, this is about Lex Luthor has been taken to Apocalypse.
Because he's got some prophecy where they think he's going to take over after Darkseid dies.
Apocalypse has kind of been thrown into turmoil since Darkseid was defeated, I guess, in the New 52 stuff. And now they're looking for a new Darkseid.
But what they don't know, I guess, is that Darkseid's just a teenager. I guess they don't know that.
Well, they still think he's dead.
Yeah, but we know he's a teenager.
Well, I mean, Higgins, we know, but they don't know.
Yeah.
They're what matters right now.
Who are these people that Lex has been talking to this whole time?
I have no idea, but they're important.
They know who he is, and I didn't know that was how he got there.
Well, just from context, I haven't read any of the New 52 later stuff, but from what I have, I guess, been told and just heard, back when Darkseid was fighting the Justice League, Lex Luthor was involved in some way, and he must have been on Apocalypse because his suit is that technology.
Yeah, like Boom Tomb, Motherbox.
Motherbox, all that stuff. Yeah, so I imagine that at one point he was there, and then that's when they kind of saw him and assumed that he was going to take over because of a prophecy. And that might be the prophecy, but Lex Luthor does things his own way, and so we know at the end of last issue that the Kent family was taken to Apocalypse and separated, and it's because of Lex Luthor.
It was kind of by accident, to be fair.
Yeah, he doesn't know that who Superman is yet, so he doesn't know about the rest of the Kent family.
Yeah, Kryptonian stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the bulk of this issue was about Lois, which I thought was interesting because, again, like this is a Superman book. It is about family. I didn't expect a big chunk of one issue, especially starting out on a new arc, to be about this character. I did like this, though. I like Lois Lane as a character. She's one of my favorite side characters in
DC.
She's
gonna be a fury.
Yeah, I like, it's basically her just stepping into, she's probably in one of the worst parts of Apocalypse because they've broken off into different sections and everyone's fighting for leadership, and she ended up on this, in Granny Goodness's turf and is originally taken prisoner, but then after their attack, she quickly just picks up a gun and fights it down, and now they're like, you know what, you're badass, come over here.
It's like, come eat this worm with us.
It's gonna be great.
They didn't enjoy it that much, but they were like, well, we don't got anything else. Yeah.
And I just, it's another reason for me to like Lois Lane or Lois Kent, I guess, I don't know. Lois Lane
Kent.
No,
she's Lois Lane. Yeah. This is 2017.
She can be whoever she wants is your
they
point.
They keep their last names.
Fair enough. But I like that this character has been through so much, especially with Superman, that any other Earthling would be, you know, teleported here and just be scared shitless, but she immediately just goes into warrior mode.
Well,
and
she's
fighting.
She's been around a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
she's,
that's what I'm saying.
She's fought in that bat suit before, so she's got the shooting down a little bit.
This is just a Sunday afternoon for her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This ends with John Kent flying away because he's got to go find Mom and Pop. So yeah, good stuff here. I like it.
Yeah, it'll keep doing good things, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with Superman as far as like the prophecy thing, but obviously he's not gonna stay there.
He's like, this place sucks.
Yeah, it's like, I understand that you guys need a ruler, but there's lava everywhere. Like, not just in some places, it's everywhere.
I've got no self service. It's movie night back home. Let's get out of here.
And I'm not missing Toy Story 5.
You should have to. I shouldn't miss this other comic we're about to talk about, though, Higgins. So talk about it.
All right. You want to talk about Dead Men?
Do I want to talk about one of the issues that we were both supposed to read, but only I read? Yeah, I guess I can.
Do you want to? Because, I mean, there's two of them, so you might as well work them in there, like, somewhere.
Again, two issues that we were both supposed to read.
I told you,
I only read.
I told you I only promised one. This is the one I didn't promise. I actually did promise this one, and I said I wasn't going to read Black Lightning, but...
You also promised that we'd record on a Friday, and it's Tuesday now. I have to get this out tomorrow.
I am sorry.
It's a start. Let's talk Dead Men. So this is written, Dead Men number 1. This is a new miniseries.
Boston Brand.
Yeah, about Boston Brand, the character Dead Men.
1 through 6. 1 of 6.
So you read about this book, but you didn't actually read it.
I read the first cover. the cover page. I saw the picture. There was a white looking Batman behind him.
Well, Higgins, I'm giving you a hard time, but truth is, this isn't that good.
I wanted it to be good.
I wanted this to be good, too. I like the character of Dead Men, who if anyone doesn't know the character, I'm sure y'all do if you're listening to this, but Buster Bram was murdered. He was a performer. Not a good guy.
No, he wasn't a good guy. Not until after he became Dead Man. He's still not that great.
No, but basically, he can't go on to the next life or next world or whatever until he finds his killer. This is about, he knows who his killer is. It's an assassin who was sent by the League of Assassins to... It's like an initiation, basically, where the League of Assassins
pick their target.
They pick a target and they have to murder him. He picks Boston Brand for whatever reason, I don't remember, and murders him, and now Deadman's trying to get his revenge. This book makes no sense. It was written and drawn by Neil Adams, who has done DC stuff before, and people really like him. Apparently, it's just some old crazy dude now. It makes sense if you try to read this, because it makes absolutely no sense. It starts out with Jim Gordon being sent to, I think, like another country, and he's there to inspect the nuclear regulations and codes of their missiles, because that's what a police commissioner in another city in America would do.
Yes.
And Deadman quickly gets involved and starts beating up people because the Hook guy's there that killed him.
Who does he take over to beat people up? Because he can't beat people up by himself.
He just takes over random people.
Oh, okay.
And then Jim Gordon helps out. Turns out that Jim Gordon's actually Batman, dressed up like Jim Gordon.
So Batman grew a mustache.
Yeah, he looks straight, like, very good, uncanny resemblance to Jim Gordon, actually. I guess he got the voice down, too, because no one questioned it.
The crazy thing is that someone probably just drew Jim Gordon and then said it was Batman.
It's a real cop-out, if you ask me.
Luckily, he's the artist and the writer, so no one could question this.
Someone should have questioned a lot of things on this book. It makes no sense. It's not even that it's just awful. It just isn't fun to read because you're reading the whole issue hoping that eventually everything will just click into place. And in a way, like, as the story goes, you do kind of put an idea of what he was going for here. Basically, Batman has encountered this guy before, this Hook guy, and he tells Deadman, Boston Brand, after they kind of have a chat, that he killed him. Well, even Deadman's like, that doesn't make any sense. Batman doesn't kill people. So then he visits the real Jim Gordon and Bruce Wayne and Alfred, takes over them, and basically gets the answer out of Batman that, hey, I didn't kill him, obviously, because I'm Batman.
Batman
doesn't kill people.
So, he almost kills people.
Yeah, I mean, he'll snap a leg or maybe...
Almost stab somebody.
He'll break your neck, but in a way that doesn't kill you somehow. But yeah, that whole point of like... making us think for 1 second that he may have actually killed this guy doesn't really make any sense to then just immediately turn back around and say, obviously, I didn't kill him.
It's like, whoops, tricked you.
Yeah, I don't know who that was for. And now it's just about Deadman going to the address that Batman left this Hook guy so he can go kill him. Because Batman won't kill him, but Deadman will kill him.
So this guy has a hook.
Yeah.
For a hand.
Yeah.
Boston Brand was shot.
He probably just made it into a gun hand.
All right.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
I was just making sure.
Well, I'm as confused as you.
he got shot. Like he was like sniped. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And the art's just kind of like, again, I think I don't know anything about this guy. I'm sure he's done great stuff, and I might look into kind of what else he's done because I know people like him, the stuff he's done for DC. But this was just didn't make any sense to me and didn't appeal to me. I didn't like this version of Deadman. Deadman was really interesting and kind of like, he's a big part in Blackest Night and Brightest Day, those events from back, back then. And I like, that's the best part of Brightest Day is the Deadman stuff for me. I like what they do with that character. But this doesn't really take from that, which is fine, but it also doesn't do anything interesting except he's just out to murder this guy. And whatever, I don't know. Plus, at one point, there's a lot of jumping back and forward in time, but you just kind of have to go along with it. It doesn't really tell you what point of time we're in when you turn the page. But at one point, he had this guy. Like, all you had to do was take over somebody and stab him, and that'd be it. But he didn't do it, and then he thought someone else killed him, and then he was upset about it, even though that's what he wanted. I don't get it.
But he's a complicated individual.
Neil Adams certainly is. I'm not going to read another issue of this. It just isn't for me. I'm sure it will appeal to people.
Snoop, there's only six.
Yeah, but I don't...
We don't have to talk about it anymore, but you should probably finish it.
Don't tell me what to do.
All right.
You and Neil Adams are always...
I'll read number three.
You and Neil Adams are always telling me what to do.
You can read number two.
I'm not going to do it.
All right.
Tired of you. You know what else I'm not going to do? I'm not going to talk about Black Lightning yet. So let's talk about Batman number 34.
Batman number 34?
Mm-hmm.
The Rules of Engagement, huh?
Part two.
I read this when it, like, the one of the first days, like, after it came out. This is one of the, like, the two or three that I read, like...
On time.
So this one's a little less fresh on the brain. I still remember what happens. We have Tom King still writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Joelle Jones, who also did the first issue of this arc.
Yeah.
And...
It's great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's really good.
It was pretty good.
It's not as, I guess, complex as the last arc, The War of Jokes and Riddles. That was kind of a look at, you know, Batman's more personal turmoil and kind of something he did that almost brought him over the edge and everything. This is just kind of like a fun, well, as fun as a Batman book can be, adventure of Catwoman and Batman who are now freshly engaged. Good for them.
Yeah, and at least we know why they're there now, too. Because,
yeah.
Like, I thought he was just trying to get a divorce from Talia, and I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't guess they were ever married.
It did come up in the issue, though.
Yeah. He was, she was his ex, but, like, not, like...
Just his baby mama.
Yeah, just his baby mama.
But this is about them going to this, I don't remember the country or city of Kandak.
Kandir.
Something with a K.
Kandak's, like, where Black Adam is, I think. Maybe.
You're thinking too hard.
Yeah, I think it's Kandir.
Point is, they go there, for their own little mission, and it's... out of the Justice League's
jurisdiction,
but Batman's doing whatever Batman wants. He's got Catwoman along, and it's just a fun little issue of them fighting a bunch of people and
while they're fighting with each other.
Fun little couples banter, and it looks great. Like the art's really fun here. It's real cartoony and kind of sketch like to me, but just this Batman with this duster on and Catwoman.
He's got like they both got like. Kind of safari outfits,
yeah, like desert gear
over their
costumes.
Yeah,
it's good, and
they beat up all those people, and then Talia Ghul shows up. Talia Al Ghul, my bad.
It's fine. I'm sure she'll let it slide. She's got bigger and better things to
do,
like take down Batman and Catwoman.
What if I'm laying on my back and she asks me to get a sword and there's not a sword around?
You just take one right out of Batman.
Like she did. To Batman and Catwoman.
That's badass. I like that Catwoman obviously loves Batman and Batman loves Catwoman, but Catwoman is kind of, her moral code isn't necessarily up to par with Batman's, and Talia takes down Batman, and now it's Catwoman's turn, and she's like, get a sword. Okay, I'll just take one out of my soon-to-be husband's back.
I just want to say from a health perspective, like, that's the worst thing you can do when you have someone stabbed.
I know, it's great.
Like, you're literally...
And this is the guy that she's going to marry.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense for that character.
Oh, yeah.
And the issue's just going to be it's going to be just them fighting about, and it's going to be a real cat fight. I'm excited about it.
It's going to be a cat fight.
And also, I really enjoy...
Battle of the
Broads.
Yeah. I can't say exes because they're one of them's engaged.
Yeah. You're struggling a lot with thoughts today on this.
I'm trying my best. It's just
it's not fresh in your head, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's not fresh. But yeah, the reason they're there in the first place, we didn't talk about it. It's from a good couple issues before.
Yeah, Catwoman's technically a criminal because of a bunch of murders and
237 of them.
Yeah, insane. It's a massacre, and we knew shortly after that was revealed that she didn't do it. She was framed by someone else.
I feel pretty strongly that Catwoman might have murdered someone before.
I don't think she murdered 237 people.
Not 237, but like she's probably got like one or two.
Well, that's the thing. We don't really know. That's the most we know about this version of Catwoman since the relaunch, and so that doesn't, you know, that could all just be, if she has murdered someone or whatever, that's kind of just up in the air. But
like George Clooney?
Sort of.
All right.
Just not his Batman. No one talks about that Batman, not even George Clooney. But yeah, I like this version of Catwoman and Batman. I like the relationship they have. And I also like the other relationships in the Bat family since Rebirth. One of them being...
Dick and Damian?
Dick and Damian's really good here. It's...
You see Damian actually cozying up to him a little bit. They fight back and forth all the time.
Yeah, they have like this brotherly relationship. Damian is always kind of jealous of Dick because he is the first Robin, and really no one's more you know, up to taking the Batman mantle, then Dick, he doesn't want it. Only one who only Robin that does want it is
Damian.
But he has a lot to learn. And this is obviously the stuff with his parents. It's taking a bit of a toll on him, you could tell. He threatens Superman at one point, which is really funny. Basically saying, like, I could just kill you with magic. And Superman's like, that's great, but John probably wouldn't like that. Like, just a real dad answer.
John wouldn't probably wouldn't go on any more adventures with you.
Yeah, it's just a real dad answer.
And then Damian makes that thing that they always make him do in all the issues of stuff he's in. He's just like, can they just write it TT?
Like, we didn't want to come up with any words. No, that's good. I like this arc a lot. I like the last arc, but I like kind of the direction this one's taking. It's a little more lighthearted, but there's obviously some darker stuff going on. I was like, it's good to see Tally in.
There's
going to
be some fights.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want.
We haven't had enough fights.
No. So let's get some fights in there. What else you want to talk about?
I mean, I guess we could talk about Green Arrow.
Do you want to?
Yeah, we can.
You don't sound so sure.
It was all right.
You didn't like it?
I'm not thrilled about it just because it's the side of Green Arrow that's like real lame, like a social justice warrior stage, and like it's piggybacking off of him like just finding his mom, and I thought that was going to be way cooler. Yeah. But she's just talking about more social justice warrior stuff.
Higgins
talking about 1%, 99%, all sorts of stuff like that.
That's too much math for you.
I just know there was a lot of words and not a lot happened. Like, a lot of words.
That is actually kind of fair. This is The Trial of Two Cities Part 2, still written by Benjamin Percy, and art by Stephen Byrne. The art's good. I like the art in the Green Arrow book a lot. And I like this a little more than you, but I get your issues with it. Not a lot does happen, and this is the last issue ended with Moira Queen revealing that she was alive. We knew she was alive, but now she's revealed to Oliver that she was alive.
Yeah. His mom is very attractive for the age that she should be. Like, she's basically looks almost exactly like Black Canary, like, age-wise.
She's got a real platinum blonde look kind of going for
her. Like, it doesn't even... I know it's supposed to be white hair, but, like, it looks more like blonde hair.
Yeah.
So she just looks like she's, like, in her maybe, like, late 20s, 30s.
She does
rather
her
than, like, 60s or 70s.
She does her squats. Every day she's at Zumba. Not a class missed. But yeah, one thing I did like about this, because I originally thought at the end of that reveal last issue that it was just going to be the usual, she's pretending to be good because she needs something.
She's still pretending to be good so she can, I don't think she's a good guy.
Well, no, she's certainly not. We know that she'll murder someone in a heartbeat, but I thought it was just going to be her pretending that, you know, I was away somewhere else and I couldn't get back until now. She just comes out basically and says, hey, I'm with the Night Circle.
Yeah.
I'm not really a good person, but I'm the lesser of two evils. And just straight out to Oliver, and now he kind of has to decide.
But she put a twist on it and like kind of said, like, hey, I'm with the Ninth Circle, but these guys did a lot of bad things while I was gone.
Yeah.
So maybe we can believe her.
It's still more, as I was saying, it's still more interesting now because instead of just going the way I thought it was, her pretending like she's not involved with the Ninth Circle at all until he eventually figures it out. He knows now. He's caught up.
Yeah.
And I do like kind of the littler stuff in this issue because it's something actually happens. Like, there's a small bit with Black Canary and Green Arrow teaming up to take down the Clock King real quick.
Yeah. My favorite part of the whole issue was the Merlin and Diggle stuff.
Yeah. That's the first time we've seen those characters for a while.
Yeah. For a second, I remember seeing Diggle and I was like, hey, we haven't seen him in Green Arrow book, and then like I saw Merlin with him and I was like, wait, we have. They went off in a river somewhere.
Yeah, it turned out that Diggle and Merlin have a past, and Diggle betrays Oliver and helps get Merlin away after some arc. I don't remember
to
all
be
the
fair,
details.
To be fair, Oliver slept with Diggle's wife or girlfriend or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a lot about this version of Diggle and Merlin. Really, my best memories of them are from the Arrow show.
Yeah, Arrow TV show.
And so it is kind of weird to see these characters in this, you know, kind of this team up.
But yeah.
Diggle might be dead now. I don't know.
Well, he's at least getting choked at
getting choked out, which
by a chain.
That can't feel great.
Nah, but I mean, like, it was neat to see that something happened. Yeah. I think that's what did it for me. Something happened.
Again, like the little kind of side stuff. At least something happens. And this is just another setup for what Moira and Oliver are gonna do to clear his name and also get her out from under the Night Circle's finger or whatever. I don't know.
And
what's the phrase?
Another thing with the little side stuff is, you know my aversion to robots and like the advancement of like technology to like another point. And
you don't like anything that's smarter than you, I guess.
Like, no, computers are fine, but like I want to be the one that makes it do what it's supposed to do. Like, these things are doing things by themselves, and what happens? Stuff gets messed up. And they have to fix it.
And you're over here, just in your corner, like, pointing and saying, "I told you so."
I told you so. Smart city, my ass.
It's fine. If you like what Green Arrow has been up to this point, yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't like this issue.
No, there's definitely worse issues.
Yeah, for sure. And it's got enough in there to kind of keep me interested to see what's going to come. I do want to wrap up the trial soon, though, because I want to see what happens after. I am happy to have him back in the city. I like having a Green Arrow book that is just kind of on its own and isn't really tied into the bulk of the Justice League stuff, because I like to see what that character does on his own. I don't relate to that character.
I just
want to
see
him interesting.
Shoot someone with an arrow is all I want.
He shot a couple people with arrows.
Did he?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Go back and read it.
Yeah, I read it really fast. That's why all the words were so bad.
It's because you had to catch up since you were behind on everything. It's not the book's fault, it's yours.
I was reading so fast. I barely got to enjoy the pictures.
And that's your favorite part.
It's like, that's what I read these for, the pictures.
And you read Playboy for the articles.
Not all the time, but when I do, I really do.
It's real insightful stuff. What else did you read, Higgins?
Let's talk about the extra size anniversary edition of Deathstroke. Are you ready?
You were able
for all that for all that extra size.
You were able to read all that extra content.
All five pages.
Jeez.
Jesus Christ.
Did you like that extra content?
Yeah, I mean, I liked this one a good bit. Like,
I like this issue.
I guess it kind of continued the storyline. It kind of went out of left field for me. Like, just the start of it, I didn't really know where it was heading.
Where we were, where we were going.
Yeah, because, like, I swear for, like, the first, like, 5 to 10 pages, I was thinking, like, this whole Defiance thing's just been him, like, hooked up to a machine, like, in his head.
Oh, that'd be such a twist.
That's what I thought it was the whole time. I thought, like, for, like, the longest time, they just had him in this, like, mind chair thing, and he's just been dreaming about this the whole time.
Huh.
But, like, I know that's not the case now. But, like, that's what I thought it was. And I was like, oh, we just got all this good guy Deathstroke, and it's just nonsense.
Well, I can actually see kind of why you might have that issue, because this was Deathstroke number 25, still written by Christopher Priest, and art is by Carlo Pagulian.
Pagulian?
Pagulian. We'll go with that. That sounds way better. Point is, Christopher Priest has such an interesting writing style, but when... How far apart are these? Like a bi-weekly?
Yeah, they're bi-weekly.
I could see why, and I've had trouble with too, of you have to remember certain things from past issues.
He was just stretching real far.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, this happened in like issue 13 through 15 or something like that. I was like, we're on 25 now.
And I've got all this extra content.
It's like I read like 1 through 19 like in a row like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, how am I supposed to remember this?
He never goes outside of his own book here when he's referring to stuff, really. And he will just throw stuff at you that the characters obviously know or remember because they've lived that life.
Yeah,
but we have to think, did we see this and we're not just remembering it? Because when last issue, he was kidnapped by a group of villains called the Society. It was made up of Reverse Flash, Vandal Savage, Killer Frost was in there, and a bunch of other people we see
now. The First Man? Was that Vandal Savage?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
Hector Hammond?
You're getting there.
I thought that's why I thought he was hooked up to a mind chair. I thought it was just all like brain stuff, and they even kind of made it look like it at first. He's like, I used my mind powers on you, and like he was in like a fantasy world for a little bit.
I wish he would have said it like that.
I used my mind powers on you.
Ooh.
Sounds like a Count Chocula or something, right?
One mind chair. but no, I get like, I definitely get why the way he writes, it's very unique, and he doesn't hold anyone's hand, which I actually appreciate. That's something I always appreciate out of a writer or any kind of medium, is I don't like my hand to be held the entire time. I get all clammy. I feel like that they're paying too much attention to me when we should be paying attention to the story. So if you could keep up with it, and if you just kind of go along with it, it's really good.
I got there eventually.
I'm glad you did.
I made it. It just took a little bit.
This continues. This is kind of a new arc. It's called the Society. But basically, after being kidnapped by that group of supervillains, we find out that Deathstroke was a part of it, and everyone's kind of heard about Deathstroke turning over this new leaf. He's still struggling with whether or not he can keep it up. This just kind of continues that, where they put him through various tests.
To see if he's evil inherently,
you know, deep down, if he's still the Deathstroke that everyone knows. And he kind of is. And that is really interesting, just reading the past stuff and seeing him struggle with, am I actually good now? Has this, you know, have the past events changed me, or am I still a killer? And plus, we just get to see him tear up a bunch of people in this issue.
It was nice. It was also nice to see, like, the motivations behind all these, like, supervillains and what they think they are.
Yeah.
Like, half of them, like, only the big gorilla guy thinks he's evil.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a lot of questions at the last issue when I saw that group of villains. Specifically, what's Killer Frost doing here? I like that this isn't your typical kind of, like, villainous society. If you try to leave or whatever, they're not just going to immediately kill you. They'll let you do your own thing, because these people just care about themselves ultimately. So they don't really, you know, if they need you and they really need you, they'll get you on their side if they want. But otherwise, do your own thing.
Out of all the Batman villains, why do you think they chose the Riddler, though?
Because he's up for the challenge.
They could have picked anybody else and I wouldn't have had to read like 15 to 20 riddles throughout the whole. They're fine.
He was the most Riddler he's been since. He's kind of the Riddler in the War of Jokes and Riddles.
He riddled the whole time. I didn't like how he was drawn, but other than that, like, I was fine with it.
I'm just glad he didn't have his open shirt with the question mark scar on it.
They went for like the old kind of nerdy Riddler look.
Yeah, I like that. I like that guy.
Rather than like the old like 70s gangster kind of look.
You would have much rather had a Jim Carrey-esque style Riddler.
With like the tights.
With the big cane and
the bright red hair.
The one like jumpsuit.
Like more like pink.
Yeah. Technicolor type style.
Dream coat.
Yeah. But no, I like this a lot. And it's, again, if you like what Deathstroke's been doing, you'll like this, I think.
Yeah.
I don't really know where it goes. I want to know kind of just based on the cliffhanger and who has Deathstroke now.
You know who that is though, right? You remember that?
Do I?
Do you remember who it is?
I don't.
It's the guy that made the icon suit. Remember he came back to life and he was like, oh, I'm mad at...
See,
like it's another thing you have to remember. Yeah. Through.
I didn't know that. Well, there
you
go.
Yeah, that's who that is. Because he came back to life because someone gave him something and he came back from the dead.
He's like, I want that.
He's kind of like... Kind of like a Solomon Grundy type thing.
Born on a Monday.
Yeah, kind of like that, where he doesn't really die. Or he came back to life kind of thing. But yeah, that's him.
Well, cool.
The guy that made the icon suit.
Yeah, I think Christopher Priest does count on you kind of keeping up with this book as a whole. And that can be kind of tough, especially when I read as many things as I'm supposed to read and you read almost as much as you're supposed to read.
Exactly.
But it pays off, I think, because it's just...
See, if I had read the other two comics, I might not have remembered that.
You wouldn't have had time for that extra content, Higgins. It's fine. It makes sense. Priorities. What else did you read?
I think that's all the Rebirth issues we read, right? Oh, no, we have Justice League.
Yeah.
We can say that one. That one's kind of a fancy thing, but I think we're all out of the regular ones.
Might as well, then.
Let's hop into Justice League, number 32. I've never read a single issue of Justice League except this one. But this is a tie-in. It hops in directly after the Flash's tie-in.
Mm-hmm. And it's the first Justice League issue since Rebirth not written by Brian Hitch, who apparently did a really bad job on that run.
Who's Robert Venditti?
He's a guy.
He's written something recently.
He's done things.
That I've read. Because I've seen his name before, but I don't really remember what it is. Suicide Squad?
That's Rob Williams.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why I thought that.
He might do Hal Jordan. I can't remember.
Okay.
I feel like he might have done Hal Jordan.
Well, the art's by Liam Sharp. Let's not forget him.
It's a team effort, Higgins. Just like this podcast we do.
Yeah.
We stumble over each other's words, but eventually get to the point of each thing we're talking about.
They do. They write this and draw it. And I read it.
And we read it, Higgins. Again.
You read it?
The Justice League's, if anything, it's about teamwork. And so together we read this. It's Bats Out of Hell Part 2. Like you said, it carries over from the last Flash issue where all the members of the Justice League, they were going to get specific things, I think Nth Metal, to kill the evil Batman. But the evil Batman are always one step ahead. And now they've trapped all the main members of the Justice League.
And their own fancy
evil Batman bat caves.
Specifically made for them.
Yeah. And it's pretty fun.
I liked it a lot more than the last issue, honestly.
Well, the last issue
had to build up to it, to be fair, but
yeah, and this was it was a mix of kind of more build up, but also just getting into the fights between.
Yeah, we got to see everybody.
Yeah, like we'll see the Flash fight his version of evil Batman, the Red Death, and then
with a whole bunch of Flashmobiles.
That was my favorite part.
There are so many Flashmobiles.
Well, it's just
like I can make them so fast now. It takes seconds. The only thing that made me mad is I had to really struggle to read his words because they're all vibrating.
And it has like the dual text bubble because the old Barry from his world is still in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he'll get separated since he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still got that consciousness. Yeah, no, just conscience. That's what I was like.
He's still got it.
He's got his Jiminy Cricket back there.
Just nagging him on his shoulder. But yeah, I like kind of basically we see every version of the Justice League getting taken down by their counterparts pretty easily. And it still fits in line with what Metal has been. It's just ridiculous and doesn't really make any sense. But if you can enjoy that, it's fun. We see the Wonder Woman Batman. Which one was he?
Devastator. No.
Merciless.
Yeah, Merciless.
He's the Merciless. And
how'd they all know their names? Did they tell him that like while we weren't reading?
They probably
Wonder Woman's like Merciless, and like the Aquaman's like Drowned, and like Flash is like whatever the Flash is. It's like, did they have a meeting and like tell them what our nicknames are?
Well, they're bad guys. I imagine they just announce themselves whenever they show up.
Oh, okay.
Makes
they
sense.
Just did it off screen.
Yeah, exactly. But I like just all the different ways that they take each of the members of the Justice League down and how they taunt them. And
how Cyborg's talking in the background and he's like, you know what? Like, Flash is pretty fast. He's going to beat this guy. And he's like, well, you can't just be fast, but you know what you can be? Angry. And then you have Aquaman and he's like, well, he didn't do it, but you know what you can be? A real battler.
And Wonder Woman gets taken down
and he's like, well,
fuck this.
He's like, this guy's got guts.
Yeah, I guess Hal Jordan's going to save the day, because I know the next tie-in issue goes into Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
There's another Justice League one right after that one, too.
No,
so we have to read two issues of Justice League.
Well, I'm going to keep reading Justice League now, because
but we have to.
I mean,
we have to at least read that one.
Again, you and Neil Adams, stop telling me what to do.
But we have to.
I'm going to.
But we have to.
You have to read that issue of Hal Jordan now, because that's the next tie-in issue.
You're right.
And I guess Hal Jordan's going to save the day because he has the most willpower. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen, which kind of bums me out because I'm trying.
He might not save the day because there's another issue of Justice League that you have to read.
Well, he might turn the tide before anybody else.
Well, yeah.
And I guarantee you that if that is the case, it's just going to be because he never gives up or something.
Well,
and
he's got guts. That's what Cyborg said.
I hate it. It's just annoying.
But the end of it, though,
when your only character trait is that you just don't give up on anything and that lets you win, it runs its course real quick for me. But sure, why not? I do like Cyborg kind of being in the background. I still think he's going to tie into a big part of this because they kidnapped him for a reason.
Well, yeah, like at the end, he's like, that's why they can beat all of them, because I have all your information.
Yeah, well, that
sitting up in my brain hole.
But also, he's made out of
robots,
apocalypse technology, and
boom tubes.
That metal, I'm sure, is another metal that can beat them. I just imagine that's why they kidnapped him. I could be wrong.
He's got metal. He's got metal.
He's got all the metal he needs. So yeah, I liked it. It was a good first issue of Justice League for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know Christopher Priest will take over after the last Batman or DC Metal tie-in. And I really am excited to read that, because I do like Christopher Priest as a writer. And as long as he doesn't reference a lot of things from the past 30 or so issues of Justice League, I'll be fine.
I wanted to read Aquaman, but like everything I've read from Aquaman has been kind of meh.
I heard after you get to kind of in the 20s when Stefan Sedgwick or whatever his name is takes over.
It does like the art.
Yeah, it bumps up in quality real nice.
Huh.
So maybe just keep going, because I'm going to probably pick that one up soon, because that is one of the last big Rebirth titles I need to get.
And I'm just not thrilled about it.
Boo-hoo. You have to avoid reading more things.
But let's get out of the water, because you're about to talk about some Black Lightning.
Yeah, I guess I can.
Yeah, because I mean, we're about to get to the other stuff that I've read, and I just figure we go ahead and...
I just didn't like your segue.
You didn't like it at all?
It wasn't your best.
It's like 30 to 45 minutes after a lightning strike. You have to get out of the water.
You're trying too hard. Let me talk about Black Lightning.
Well, this is the only segue I did all night, so I figured I...
That's
I,
your problem. You didn't warm up.
I didn't warm up.
You didn't stretch first.
I'll get there eventually.
All right, so Black Lightning, Cold Dead Hands, number one. It's another miniseries out by DC, and I think there's only going to be six of these as well. It's better than what Dead Man was. It starts out kind of generic.
Do you think it's because Tony Isabella wrote it?
I mean, I guess that helps, because Tony
and Clayton Henry did the art.
Yeah, the art's pretty good. Tony Isabella actually is she? No, he. Sorry.
Isabella, are you sure? Messed me up. Are you sure?
The writer.
I guess Tony with a Y is usually a guy, and Tony with an I is usually a girl.
Well, Higgins, when it's 2017, anything can be anything. So.
I know. So is it a girl or a guy? Or
I don't know. It's a writer.
And, all right.
Tony, just don't
use pronouns.
Jesus. Tony and Isabella had a hand in creating this character.
All right.
And so obviously this person's written stuff for Black Lightning before. I think that kind of hurts me, because I know the character of Black Lightning.
I don't. I know they're going to make a TV show about him.
Yeah, it's coming up this year, actually.
On the CW.
Well, really, the thing is about Black Lightning is...
Is he black?
Yeah, he's from
Does
that...
Does he have lightning powers?
Exactly. He's from that era where...
Black people had lightning powers.
And they also have black in their title, their superhero title.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like one of the black lightning-based superheroes. It's his name. And
he's the first one. They were like, well, we've used this name. Now we have to be a little more creative.
Jesus. Never a dull day at work, they said. But I like Black Lightning. I've read him recently in Injustice 2. He's pretty good in that. And
I haven't got that far, I guess.
That doesn't surprise me.
I have like five issues, probably, but it'll take me like what?
5 years.
5 minutes. It's like I can really power through Injustice, because there's like five words in each issue.
They're thinking
love,
of you.
They love pictures.
As do you. But I like this as it went. It's pretty generic in the way it starts. Basically, Black Lightning has come back from somewhere to Cleveland, I believe it is. And he's...
Ohio?
Sure. Where else would it be?
I don't know. I think there's a Cleveland in Tennessee.
I doubt it's there. It strikes me as an Ohio man.
All right.
But the point is, he's in the city, and just crime's running amok. People are got weird weather gun type things. And
so it's crime you can stop with lightning bolts.
Exactly.
All right.
Right up his alley. He's like, I'll stay here. I'll settle down.
Is he in a bad area of town?
It's not that bad, actually.
Not that bad?
No. I mean, think about it. If your low-end criminals have cool scientific weather guns, you're doing pretty well for yourself as a city.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. But he saves the day, and it's kind of, it borderlines on that whole, like, cops don't like you because you're a superhero, and also because you're black kind of thing. It doesn't go real heavy-handed on it, but there are hints of it. And, again, I don't know the background of this character. That could be kind of his thing.
Snoop, Black Lightning matters.
Always. But as far as the, you know, he'll talk to people and it's not really great dialogue, but as it goes and introduces more things, kind of Black Lightning is starting up in this town and he does want to help people, but obviously he's got to be careful with the law because they're not really on his side, even if he is helping them. And there is a cop who knows who he is, knows his identity, Jefferson Pierce, I think is his name, and is helping him anyway, you know, getting him, sneaking him out into the scene of the crime at the time and causing distractions so he'll get away. I kind of like their relationship there, but it's the villain here that's causing trouble that's, I think, the most interesting. His name's Tobias Whale, and he's basically the kingpin of this city, and he takes kind of pride in, he's running the city from behind the scenes. He's the ghost of Cleveland, yeah. And if you mess up, he'll murder you, and they do a pretty good job of kind of establishing just how far he'll go, because
He murders some people.
He murders his sister really brutally. And it's
his sister.
Yeah. It was like a weird, like, your son fucked up, so I murdered him. And he's like, you murdered your own nephew? And she's like, yep. He's like, okay. And then he chucks a model boat at her right in the head, and she dies.
Wow.
And then he's like,
wow.
He's like, get rid of her, and while you're out, get me another boat, because it looks great on this table.
Well, that's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. As it goes, it's more interesting, and Tobias is smart. He set up Black Lightning to basically make it look like he murdered a bunch of people, and now the cops are after him, which, again, the issue was leading up to that. It's the way it starts out that it is just kind of generic and cliche as far as superhero stuff goes, but I like it enough, and I really like the art style a lot to kind of go with it. Jefferson Pierce, what I know about him, I do enjoy as a character. I know he has... He has kids in the comic,
mm-hmm.
and also in the CW show that you kind of brought up, he'll have kids already in that, and they become superheroes later. Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah, they'll have Thunder and Lightning powers.
Yeah, well, that's their names, are Thunder and Lightning.
He got. That's dangerous, right? Is that their superhero names or like their?
That's
like,
their superhero names.
Okay,
yes.
not their real names.
No, I mean, because
like
be.
I mean, like, it is 2017, but we have to draw a line somewhere.
Maybe he was testing it out. Maybe he's like, if I name him that, maybe look at powers. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like he has kids in this. He didn't.
If it is their real names, then their superhero names would have to be like Tracy and like Johnny.
It's and like, even though they're both still girls.
Yeah, Tracy and Johnny, they just have eyes at the end. So you know they're girls. Like the Tony dilemma.
The whole Pan Pam thing.
Yeah.
It's back again.
Oh, I see. It's a PAMN.
You're out of control. You and Neil Adams just need to calm down. But I'd say maybe get into it. Like I said, it's not the best, but it's a miniseries. It's going to be 6. It's interesting enough to keep going with another issue. And
yeah, I'll probably start it.
Yeah. Certainly, you know, pick that over a Deadman.
I'll read both.
I know you'll read both.
I'll read both. I'm still reading Batman Beyond, so I'll read both.
That's your problem, is you don't draw the line.
I didn't draw the line for Superwoman, and now I'm going to get the end. So who's winning now? It's like I read something that's going to have an end, and you're reading things that are continuing.
I'll just let you have it. It's fine.
All right, let's jump into Batman White Knight. Is that what you want?
Are you asking me? Because I can.
Or do you want the Batman the Devastator first?
Let's do the Devastator.
Yeah, I guess that's closer related mm-hmm. to what we're talking about.
Because it's another DC Metal tie-in.
I couldn't remember the name of it, so I just said White Knight when I said the Batman already.
You panicked.
Yeah, and I knew White Knight was there.
As a safety net.
Yeah.
But now we're going to talk about Batman the Devastator, number one. It was written by...
There's only going to be one, but...
Good point. You know what else is weird?
What's that?
About this is it's the only one, and it is number one, but also I'm not entirely sure who the actual writer of this book is. And so Frank Thierry, he's written some stuff we've read before. He wrote the plot.
Yeah.
Or came up with it. James Tynion IV, who does Detective Comics, he wrote the words.
So like we have Frank Thierry, and he's like, I want this and this and this to happen.
Yeah.
And James Tynion's like, can do boss.
Yeah, it's just I Frank Thierry's written books before.
Yeah.
So maybe for some reason he couldn't actually just sit down and write the book, or he just didn't feel like it. I don't know.
He's like been there, done that.
Yeah. I guess they're technically both the writers for this, and Tony Daniel did the art. along with a bunch of other people. The art's pretty good. This is better than the last DC Metal one shot that we read. This is about the evil Batman, kind of where each one came from, and this is about the one infected with the Doomsday virus.
Yeah. And I think with him not being connected to a specific member of the Justice League, I think that's why we got a little more connection to the actual plot story. We didn't have to show how he became this, like, twisted version of some other superhero.
Yeah. He kind of did the same thing that the last one-shot did, the Merciless, which was the Batman-Wonder Woman.
Yeah, where he becomes, like, the villain of, like, one of the Justice League members, I guess.
Well, when I mean it did the same thing, I mean that it focused on what's happening on Earth Zero during DC Metal, then, like you said, going into the origin of how that version of Batman became this character. It still covers that, it's just very loosely and to the point.
Yep.
I didn't like that about the Merciless issue. I wanted kind of just more of the origin. I got enough of the origin here that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we got a good thing that comes up every now and again. A nice Batman Superman fight.
Yeah, and it's his origin of this version of Bruce infected himself with the Doomsday virus to take down his version of Superman because
Superman went crazy.
Yeah, he went evil. And again, I would have kind of just been more satisfied with going into, if it had just been an issue about that the whole time, and maybe at the end, after he's infected himself with the virus, it cuts to him on Earth Zero and he just starts causing problems. That's kind of what I wanted out of each of these. And as we've gone on, we've gotten less of that because I guess they want to just tie up loose ends from the overall event of DC Metal and the main story. And they're using this as a way to do that. It gave me enough, again, to understand what's happening, and it was more interesting than the last issue, but I would have just liked him and that version of Superman to be fighting, and then eventually Bruce just says, fuck it, and uses the Doomsday virus and takes him down, instead of just, like, that's all we saw.
Or maybe some flashbacks and flash-forwards just along the way, instead of, like, a one-chunk
scenario. Each of the evil Batman have their own reason for going to Earth Zero. Most of them just want it because if they take down this version of Earth, it should save theirs. He's going to this version of Earth because his Superman went evil and it kind of broke his heart because Superman represents the best out of all of us and he turned.
It represents hope.
Yeah. And so he feels guilty because he wasn't able to save people on his Earth from Superman. And now he's basically using this as his second chance to save the people at Earth Zero from their Superman by infecting them with the Doomsday virus.
Infecting everyone with the Doomsday virus.
Lois gets infected at one point, so I guess she's just running around right now as an evil.
Well, she turns like right at the very end, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing she's just running around. Actually, I think in DC Metal, like either issue 2 or 3, it's a panel, but they basically say, hey, that's Lois Lane. I don't know how you would recognize her when she's all gross and Doomsdayed out.
She's got her pink blouse on,
like
probably.
Shards of her pink shirt, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but the only thing that was kind of neat is like the Bruce Wayne that has the Doomsday virus in him, like somehow transformed back into human Bruce Wayne for like a little bit.
I like that. Yeah, how he can kind of just turn it on and off, but it seems like the kind of the internal stuff is still there. Like
once he turns to Doomsday, he's like full on like crazy
gross
Doomsday
looking
person.
Yeah, but I kind of like that he is able to turn, like, the physical look, at least. He's able to turn back into himself. But obviously, the damage that the Doomsday virus did to his psyche is still there.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty crazy. And this is the last one before the last one. The next one after I think there's a couple tie-ins in between. But we're going to get one about the Batman who laughs. That's the last one we're getting.
Some nice Joker stuff.
Yeah. That's the one I've always wanted to know about ever since all the evil Batman showed up is, you know, what's this dude's deal? How does he see in that mask? I don't know.
What is his deal?
So, yeah, let's get into that. But this was pretty good. Not the best, but pretty good.
Yeah. Better than some, worse than others.
Thank you for repeating what I said in a different way.
In a different way. for the different view. For the different
It's
listeners.
All about perspective.
Yeah. I guess we only have Batman White Knight left, so I can say that and be comfortable in my saying that.
In your own skin, yeah.
Yeah. So Batman White Knight, where Joker is, he's probably a bad guy.
I mean, not as bad.
Well, like, he's not as bad. He's Jack Napier now, but, like, he's... he's not exactly like a good guy right now.
Yeah, this
like
is...
I expected him to be.
This is about an Elseworlds tale where what if the Joker was cured of his badness and Batman was slowly going crazier.
See, this is an example, though, where someone does the art and the writing and good things happen.
Good things. Sean Murphy does good here.
Yeah.
I like this. I didn't care for the last... Well, when I say I didn't care for it, I wasn't 100% on board with the first issue. It was fine, but I wanted to kind of... I was more interested to see where it goes.
And they had to introduce us, Snoop. You just had to give them that chance.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason I kept reading it, Higgins.
Well, that's good.
But I like this one a lot more.
Do you like his art more or his writing more?
I really like his art. He has good art. His writing's fine. It's very dialogue heavy.
But yeah.
I've read issues that are basically the same amount of dialogue, but it's just so dull. I hate reading it. This
Green,
is at least...
Green Arrow,
that last issue of was it Batman the Merciless was a chore to read. But this had a lot of dialogue, especially in the very first couple pages, because we know at the end of the last issue that Joker was basically going to sue Gotham because they didn't have anything on him technically, and also he had been beaten up by the cops so many times. And that's kind of funny that the Joker is insanely intelligent. He's just used that, you know, he's used his brains to cause trouble, and now here's a Joker that's cured of his madness. And now he's just using it for his own gain.
You know what I do like about what he's starting to do? He finally tells people that Arkham Asylum's not a good thing.
It's not a good idea, no.
It's like, you see this, there's like a whole prison for like these bad guys, and they're only getting worse.
People keep getting out and murdering other people. It sucks.
It's like, this isn't working. The guy that you have in charge of this, he's also a super villain. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I like that, because I imagine that the Joker we do have, that's still the Joker.
Yeah.
He would do the exact same things. So here's an example of a Joker that is doing those things, of basically just pointing out Gotham's flaws and how idiotic they are. And also, he's going after not only the Joker, but also the Batman. He basically blames Batman for a big part of what the city's problems are, and that having a vigilante runner,
justice.
Yeah, it doesn't work. He's going around. He's you're right. He's not a good guy, but he's doing what he thinks is the way to get things done. And I like my favorite moment of this is I knew Harley Quinn was coming in this book. I wanted to
but
see
did
what
did you know that too?
Yeah, I did. That was my
coming.
Favorite. I knew Harley Quinn was coming in this book. We got her in this issue. It's kind of sweet to see a version of Joker who realizes what he's done to that character and goes to apologize. It doesn't go the way I thought it would at first, because she beats the shit out of him, basically says, I want the you back.
Yeah.
And he's not going to, like, he's getting his ass kicked. So who saves him but the real Harley Quinn? And I like it too, because
it basically takes like the movie version of Harley Quinn and like replaces her with like the old cartoon version of Harley Quinn.
The version people actually like.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it is throwing shade at that version of the character who's just, you know, overly sexy and just kind of weird and crazy for just the sake of it. That's the version we have in the actual Suicide Squad book.
Yeah.
Because that's the version from the movies, and they kind of tied the Suicide Squad movie versions into the book. I know they're different a little bit. You read that one, but that's where they got the inspiration from.
I read all of it now.
I don't find that character interesting for those reasons. I like the abusive relationship between the Joker and Harley. It's the reason why that character was as popular as she was when she was introduced in the animated series.
Yeah.
I get kind of wanting to make that character stronger and change her, but it kind of lost something there for me. So to have this version come back and introduce something new of basically why this Harley left the Joker is not because of he did some terrible stuff that even she wasn't okay with. They bring up Jason Todd in this and how awful that was. It's why he did that, basically because he was so obsessed with Batman that
he had no time for Harley Quinn.
Well, and it was pushing him to do horrible things. Yeah. And that's where she kind of drew the line. And again, like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see from that character. She's not an idiot. She can be, you know, she can be sexy and everything, but she's smart, and she spouts off some psychiatrist mumbo jumbo in this too.
Yeah,
like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see from this version. And I like them teaming up and kind of, again, not doing things the right way necessarily, but doing things the way they see it as getting it done, and just kind of the setup into what's going to happen next. The rogues are in this, and that's a big part. I like all of that stuff. And we see a little bit more of this version of Batman who is kind of going over the edge. There's a good little bit with Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
That's always interesting to bring back him trying to cure his wife.
So Batman got taken by, like, the police, right?
Yeah, basically, the beginning of the first issue is a flash forward to after Joker's been Jack Napier for a while and he's gotten Batman imprisoned. So currently we're before that happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it took me a minute to kind of catch up on that,
too. Because I was like, Bruce Wayne's out and about, so I wasn't exactly sure.
Yeah, and this makes sense now why this version of Bruce Wayne kind of went over the edge, is because they're starting to call Batman out. And also, he's starting to see what people use Batman for. You have this one guy who is basically using Batman to make money off, you know, in real estate. He'll take areas that Batman has, been seen in.
Yeah.
They call them, like, Batman zones or something. And he'll...
Real creative terms.
He'll get the city to pay for the damages to fix it, and then he'll flip it for a profit. And Bruce Wayne finds that kind of stuff out, and he's starting to realize that...
He's not happy.
Yeah, he's starting to realize that maybe Jack Napier, aka the Joker, his mortal enemy, might have a point, and that just infuriates him. So yeah, I like this a lot, and the art's great.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You know what else is good? We're done.
Yeah, it was a long one.
Yeah,
but well,
Higgins, as we read more things, and by that I mean as I read more things, and you have to listen about it, the episodes are going to get a bit longer.
I talked a lot in those. I talked a lot about those issues that I didn't read, though.
Yeah, you did.
So, there's that.
Who knew you had it in you?
Who knew? I tried my best.
You gave it your all. You think you can just give a little more and let the people go and tell them things?
Yeah. We do our talking, and you do your listening, but we also have we also have Twitters. And you can find us on those Twitters at MikeHiggins93 for me. And
I'm at Snoop_Lynch. Higgins is pointing at me, so I guess that's what he wanted me to
say.
That
was his cue. But yeah, you can ask us stuff, or just say you like our faces,
even though you've never seen them.
But you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a favorite issue of the week that you want to tell us about, do that.
Yeah, because Snoop will read it.
I will. I'll read it, and I'll be happy about it, and I'll tell Higgins, and he'll think it's fine.
Yeah, I'll read some of it.
Yep.
And we'll probably do this again next week.
We're going to try. I didn't do the last episode because I got the flu, so that's on me.
But it's there somewhere, floating around.
Somewhere.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll release it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
When we forget another episode.
But join us next week when we release another episode. So until then, bye-bye.
Bye.